Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where you'll hear stories of inspiration and hope realized. Hosted by Diane Allen, intuitive empowerment mentor, who specializes in working with people who want to be freed from being stuck in life. You will hear personal stories and professional insights, along with tips on how to conquer overthinking, procrastination, and more. Here's Diane.
Hi, everybody. It's Diane. And today we have a really cool guest. You're going to love her. This woman interviewed me on one of her great summits, which maybe I can get her to tell you about. And I immediately just wanted to know her more. So of course, I finally got up the guts to invite her to be on the show. And she said, yes, I'm so happy. Our guest today's name is Katori Noor. And she is an amazing advanced yoga instructor. But here's the other cool thing. She does sound healing, and she's also a mom, and she's in recovery, and she really, really believes in love and healing, but really self-love. This woman is on an amazing path of transcendence and transformation, and everywhere she goes, she blesses people just with her energy and her presence. So we are so lucky today to have somebody with such a high vibration calling landing here with us on Someone Gets Me. So sit back, get some tea maybe, relax a little, kick your feet up, and listen as I speak with Katori about all kinds of conversation. Because somebody who has great life experience and great knowledge and wisdom always has something great to share. I'll bet you she shares something with us she doesn't even know she's going to share yet. So with all that being said, I would love to welcome you to the show, Katori. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be here with us.
Oh my gosh, Diane, thank you so much for inviting me. It's really a deep, deep honor.
Wonderful. I'm so happy. And I think where I'd like to start, and we'll see where it goes, is a little bit about how you found sound healing, because I think sound healing is really cool, and how that really helps with learning how to love ourselves more. And how does sound really heal? Like, how does it all work when it comes to learning how to really love ourselves? Like, can you give us a little snapshot of that? Because I don't know that a lot of people are really familiar with how that goes.
Yeah, you know, it's really fascinating because sound, quantum physics has proven that everything that exists is vibrational. Have you heard that?
Yes.
So this is a vibration. This wall is a vibration. Everything around us vibrates at different levels. So when we are feeling crummy, we are out of alignment with our true vibration. And when we're feeling great, we're closer and more aligned with who we truly are, like the soul, the essence of our being. And what sound healing does, well, you ask a couple of questions there, how I came into it and what it does. But what sound healing does is what is that we allow ourselves to realign with who we truly are. So, there's crystal bowls, there's gongs, there's voice, which I believe is the most powerful tool for healing because we have it wherever we go and we can use it at any time. We don't have to like carry it with us. How I discovered sound healing, when I started taking yoga trainings, my 200-hour teacher, Cassandra Bright, she had introduced me to a gentleman named Three Trees out of Sedona. And he calls it a soulmonic journey. And we would come into the room, he would be all set up, and we would lie there like in a Shavasana type pose, comfortable blankets and pillows. And we would lie there and listen to, he would do drums, he would use his voice, he would use didgeridoo. And he would also use a loop feedback. So there would be like a consistent sound. And the experience that I had was literally like, I would physically shake like totally unexpected. And I would have these visions, like dreams, but I was awake. Colors, animals, like going through space, traveling through the ocean. And there was this one experience, it was my first time, where I literally felt, and if this scares some people, I'll give you a context for what I mean by serpent. So a serpent entered my body, and from like an aligned point of view, like straight directly into me, and the head was up here. And later on, I came to find out that the serpent or the snake represents transformation. Mm-hmm. You know, like the shedding of the old skin and the coming to of the new skin. Now, I had come from a very religious background then, and so I was a little bit scared, like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? And then I did some research and I discovered Shiva, which is a Hindu deity. They call him the destroyer, but he's also transformation. And I've developed a very strong relationship with that type of energy. So you know how life will just give you like one step after another when we surrender?
Oh, yes.
So I was doing a lot of surrendering at that time. And there was a training at a studio in Scottsdale. I'm in Mesa, Arizona. And there's a studio, so it's about 45 minutes away. And they were doing a weekend sound healing training. And it just so happened that Three Trees was going to be there. A voice teacher, Satyam Patel, who I had been working with, who had really been helping me discover my voice and my expression and how I can heal through that, he was going to be there. And then there was a gong teacher, Sangeet Kar Khalsa, and Ronnie Kipnis, who is the owner. And we did voice toning and drums, and we worked on each other. And so I got certified. That's how I came into it and discovered it. And that was a year ago. And you know, I actually want to share this one piece, because that was February, March, like end of February, beginning of March. And I had been going to the Self-Realization Fellowship in Phoenix pretty regularly at that time. I call it Yogi Church. I had met some new friends there, and we were exchanging spirit names. So Katori is actually my spirit name, and I received it over 20 years ago in 1994 when I'd had my near-death experience. I had intentionally overdosed, didn't want to be here anymore, and got blessed with a second chance. And when I returned, and through many years, I discovered this spirit named Katori. Well, I didn't know what it meant for over 20 years. Crazy, right? So I meet Sheila and Jay at SRF, and we start talking, and she says that her spirit name is Satyama, which is like the feminine crown. And I said, well, my spirit name is Katori. And we started talking about what the meanings were. And I said, well, I don't really know what the meaning is. The only thing I've ever found was Japanese swordsmanship. And it didn't resonate, other than maybe it's spirit warrior, but it didn't really, really resonate. And then Satyama, or Sheila, her husband Jay, says to me, he says, oh, Katori, that means empty vessel or empty bowl. And it was literally like a, like spirit entered my body, because I had been practicing, like I had just been purchasing these alchemy crystal bowls, empty bowls, and my whole life's purpose is to be an instrument. Like, please, you know, God, let me do your will, not my own, like thine will be done. So that's also a little bit, you know, a little story about how I got into sound healing and how even my name contributes to that.
Whoa.
That's a lot.
Alrighty then. you know how they say you just never know when you start talking with somebody, like, how did you get there from here? I have goosebumps everywhere. And I think that's the coolest story. And I think it's really neat that you didn't even know what that name meant. And now it's like the perfect name for you. Like, of course, that's your name. Like, duh, right? But we don't figure it out till we're ready to put it together. Oh, that's amazing. I'm like speechless. So I'm going to try to put together some more things. I'm still like, whoa. And, you know, and I've done a lot of sound healing. And when you were explaining, like, getting all comfortable and all of that, I have a friend of mine who used to be here but has since moved. And I used to go every Monday night. And I would do these sound healings. And there was this woman there who I'm still very close friends with who would always have these amazing insights and intuitions for me, like always writing them down. Sometimes other people too, like lots of it. And I always wanted to develop my intuition like that. I didn't realize mine was already there. Like, I didn't know it. I didn't know what to call it. I just knew stuff. She says, well, you already are an intuitive. And I'm like, huh. Well, now I know I am. And I've stepped into it. That was years ago. But the thing that always happened, I took a year off and I didn't do any work. It was mostly sabbatical. I did some private consulting things, but mostly I was on a retreat, on a sabbatical during this time. I would come home every Monday night after the sound healing thing, the sound journey, as they called it. And I'd be up pretty much the whole night with vivid dreams and imaginations and things happening. And some of it was a little bit unnerving and some of it, you know, but turned out to be amazing, like your story. And sometimes it was just all amazing, but I would hardly ever sleep, you know, because it would just be so freeing and wild and processing and just all of the experiences. It took me several weeks of it happening over and over to be ready for it. Like, oh, that's right, I'm not going to sleep tonight. That's okay, I'll sleep tomorrow night, you know, or whatever. Sound healing, I really believe, unlocked things so deep within me that was the vibrational cellular thing that could not have been freed in any other way. And that's what I just heard in your story, is that power of it. And when you were talking about our own voice, and now it made sense why this woman, when she would do sound healing sessions with me sometimes, she would tone and she would put her hands on different places and I could feel her toning coming through her body, you know, in the mind, you know, like I could feel it. And I thought that was the neatest thing. And then she taught me how to do some of it. And I had hip pain one time where I couldn't get off the couch. My hips were hurting so bad. And I made it to her office and I walked out pain free. So I know it's vibrational. It was amazing. And your story just reminded me of all of that. And what I want to say to everybody and reminding us too, is that 80% of our healing is nonverbal. And so healing for me means to be in union with and to be whole. It doesn't necessarily imply that something was wrong. It's just we're always growing into more and more wholeness as we go through our lifetime. And so if we have a goal to grow more and more whole, then it's important that we understand 80% of that is nonverbal. And sound healing is a very powerful way to keep uniting us more and more deeply vibrationally with our essence. And so you just reminded me of all of this flood of amazing things. And it's so cool that you found that. So I have another question. You mentioned about 1994 and having a near-death experience. You also speak about how to use somebody's pain as their purpose in guiding us higher. And I will bet that you have some wisdom around that, because from 1994 until today, I imagine you have been consistently digging your way out of a very dark place. And so if you wouldn't mind, kind of paint the picture of the darkness, like what kinds of things led to it as far as how you were feeling and disconnected or whatever. And then how did this happen where you had the awareness that, hold on, pain can be part of our purpose and I want to live and experience this second chance? Because most people are bitter a lot. They hold on to all the anger and resentment. And just the time I've known you and just even listening to you already, bitterness is not a word I would put with you. So you've mastered something. You've experienced something that is very valuable. And if you're willing, I would love for you to share about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you for asking. So really traumatic childhood. The bullet points are, I was born into a religious cult that was really wonky. It was very, very strict. There were beatings. There was lots of torture. It was very, very, dark. I like that you used that word. It was very dark. Fast forward a couple of years, that was till I was about 3 and a half. From the time I was about 5 to 7, I was sexually abused by my best friend's father and couldn't say anything because she said that he would kill her. So that's where my voice shut down when I was about 5. Used to love to sing and dance, and I was like so fully expressed, you know, you see those little girls that are just like out there. I was one of those. Mm-hmm. Raised by one of my parents was an alcoholic and addict, not around much. And when he was around, you had to be really careful what you said because you never knew if you were going to say the wrong thing. My other parent dealt a lot with severe depression. And by the time I hit puberty around 11 or 12, my parents split. My mom went back to work, not back to work. She went to work and she was going to school full time. So me and my brother were basically on our own. And I discovered drugs and alcohol. And there was a girl that was new to school and everybody liked her. She was kind of the opposite of me. She had blonde hair and blue eyes and big boobs, and I wanted to be just like her. And I was just willing to do whatever it took to be her friend. And that included smoking cigarettes and smoking marijuana and drinking alcohol. And, you know, that self-worth, like it showed up then for the lack of self-worth. And from that point on, it just got darker and darker and darker. I remember still having light when I was about 12, like when I first started, but I remember like intentionally like harming, like I remember smoking and like trying to inhale and like how sick it made me feel. And I was just so determined, not realizing, like not being aware or conscious of like the damage that I was doing to myself, but just like I wanted so bad to be liked and accepted that I was willing to totally sacrifice myself. By the time I was 14, I had alcohol poisoning. I was like, I became suicidal. I didn't want to live. The only thing I was living for was, you know, the next high. And by the time I was 15, I started using crystal meth, and that one really took me down hard, really hard. I got to a point by the time I was 19, I became homeless. I was choosing drugs over food. I'm 5'6", and I weighed about 92 pounds. I was covered in boils. I stopped going out during the day. I didn't want to be seen because I felt that I was so hideous. And so August 21st, 1994, I was done. I was like, I'm done. I can't escape the pain. It doesn't matter how much drugs I do. I can't escape the pain anymore. And went to my grandparents' house. They were out of town. Stole their medication. Not so proud to say, but that's what I did. And then I just proceeded to put as many pills in my body as possible, called my drug dealing boyfriend at the time, had him come pick me up. And we didn't have cell phones back then. So it was kind of like you did the pager thing. And then I was like, well, I'm going to walk from Maryvale to Sunny Slope, which was, 20 miles at least, maybe further. And it was the middle of the night. And I just started walking. And Maryvale is not such a safe neighborhood. And I didn't care. I was like scared, but at the same time, just so done, like, please, like, come and like put me out of my misery. And I remember as I was walking past this church that was near my grandparents' home, I felt what I call the presence of God. And like, I couldn't shake it. it was like I felt so protected and I felt so loved. And I hadn't started taking the pills yet. I was high on meth. I had had some pot in me. But that feeling really stuck with me. And even though I had that feeling, my boyfriend eventually came and picked me up. And I still took the pills. And a lot of them, I have no idea how many. But what ended up happening was I spent the night vomiting blood and the lining of my stomach. I didn't realize it till later on what it was, but I just wanted to fall asleep and not wake up. And so eventually I finally passed out. And when I came to, it was like, you ever wake up like after you've been traveling a lot and you like don't know where you're at or what day it is or what time it is, you're like just totally discombobulated. Well, that happened, and I was shaking Chris at the time, and I was like, Chris, I was like, how long have I been out? Like, what day is it? What time is it? And he just was not respondent. Like, he was asleep. He was not going to wake up for me. I went to stood up, and I fell. I couldn't walk, and I was really shaky, and I crawled to the phone, and I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I think I need to go to the hospital. I took a bunch of pills last night, and I can't walk. So she came and got me. And, you know, just to backtrack a bit, when I woke up, the only thing I could remember was darkness. Like it was this really, and the name Kathy. And that actually has to do with the spirit name I got later on. When my mom took me to the hospital, they said that they couldn't pump my stomach because I had already thrown everything up. And I ended up spending 3 days there and felt so loved and so taken care of. And I watched a lot of Yanni. Do you remember Yanni?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And so that was on the TV. And I just remember hearing this beautiful music, and I'd kind of like go in and out of consciousness. And after 3 days, they released me. And my mother, bless her soul, said, you can come back home, but you have to stay clean. You have to get a job and you have to pay rent. Like, those are the conditions. And I remember walking outside of the hospital and everything was different. Like, you ever have those experiences where you're like, you smell better, like your sense of smell is alive and the colors are brighter and everything's just like almost has this shimmer to it? Well, it was like that. And it was in that moment that I knew, like, oh my gosh, like, you gave me a second chance. And not only was I given a second chance, but later on through a lot of processing of like what actually happened during this time, and I still to this day have no idea how much time had actually passed, that there was a point where I was given a choice. It wasn't chosen for me, but that I was actually given the choice that my birth name is Ruth. And that's how I was addressed, Ruth. You can leave your body. Your body is definitely ready to leave. And it's going to be worse. Like, the situation, the pain is going to be worse. Or you can go back and make it right. So I chose to come back. That's one way that when that cloud comes back, as it sometimes does, I get to remember that. And that's something that I hold on to.
Wow. That's really profound. The choice was, you can leave, but it's going to be worse, or come back and resolve it. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say it that way. And I think a lot of people who get to that dark place, and maybe even people who try by overdose or people who actually do succeed in suiciding, I think they believe it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. You know, yeah. The pain's so great, I can't take it anymore, I'm out. It'll relieve the pain. But in reality, your experience was quite different than that.
Yeah.
So that's really, really profound. So you obviously chose to stay because I'm talking to you, and now your world is around love and kindness and generosity and giving and healing in your home life as a mom, right?
Yeah.
mm-hmm. and in your professional life. And so what are some things that you do that you learned through all of this story of your journey that could help somebody? Like, what I'm thinking is there's somebody listening to us right now. I just know they are. And they're like, man, you know, like, I want to give up, but I don't want to give up, but I don't know what to do. And they have all this pain that's kind of there, and they really don't even know where to start or what to think. What would you suggest to somebody who's kind of feeling in that stuck place? They might even secretly be feeling the pain and not even like telling anyone about it yet. What would maybe an idea or suggestion that you might have from not only your personal, but your professional experience of what would be an idea of where to start?
Yeah. My number one go-to is follow your bliss. Not from a place of like checking out and like getting drunk, because I used to do that too, but from a place of like, what really brings you deep happiness? Is it like getting in touch with nature? Is it singing a song? Is it, you know, one of the things that when I'm feeling, the cloud, I call it, that darkness, is to get outside of myself, because there's always someone that's worse off than us. So I will start calling up people, hey, how you doing? And then getting into their world, listening, like, what's going on with them? And maybe somehow I can contribute to them. And then when I start to notice, that's kind of like you had mentioned earlier, like turning the pain into purpose. It's like, my pain will actually drive me to give, to find ways of like, how can I serve? Because we all can serve. It's just getting over ourselves, moving past ourselves. And then once that starts to happen, and I can see that just maybe I'm just listening to someone. Maybe they just need to know that someone loves them and that somebody cares. That I start experiencing like, oh my gosh, I'm making a difference. Wow, I matter. And now they know that they matter. And now they can go and be that person that matters for someone else. And then it's like this ripple effect that goes out, and we start to really, really spread love throughout the world.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that whole ripple effect. That's what I think of. I always think of the drop in the calm water, since I'm such a water person, and how, you know, like Einstein said, everything affects everything, which goes back to the quantum physics piece too. It's like, and the butterfly effect, whatever way you want to look at it, it's true. Everything affects everything. And so sometimes when that darkness comes, and sometimes for me, it kind of feels that way. It kind of feels sticky. I think of Pigpen in the old Peanuts cartoons, where he just had dirt all around him all the time, and they loved him, but he just had dirt around him all the time. That sometimes the way we clean up that dirt around us, that darkness, is to not feed it any longer and feed something that's higher and better. And that, you know, the people we reach out to may feel worse than us. They may be guides for us. They might be, you know, people who are inspiring us, but getting out of ourselves is so important to realize that, you know, we're the center of our own universe, but we're not the center of the universe.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And something you said about, you were talking about vibrations, that popped in my head was, I really, 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 really believe in like the deepest part of my soul that we are one, that every single person that I interact with, that you interact with, we're mirroring each other. Mm-hmm. So when I see beauty and grace inside of someone, I get to own like, wow, I wouldn't recognize that if that wasn't already in me. And at the same time, on the flip side of it, it's like, if I am totally triggered by someone and I want to wring their neck out, they're just reflecting something in me that I haven't yet come to terms with. So it's really, that's been another really great tool, that seeing people as a reflection and finding the, you know, the self-love and acceptance and the self-compassion all at the same time.
Yes, it's very true. We, you know, we see in others what's in us, especially the beauty too. Like a lot of people, I hear, you spot it, you got it. And they're talking about, you know, all the maybe staticky or things that don't feel so great. Well, the spot that you got, it's true. It's true on everything. It's true with the love and the compassion and the kindness and the generosity, you know, and it's true with everything else without labeling it as good or bad. Everything just kind of is its own thing, its own way. So what do you like to do for fun?
What do I like to do for fun? Well, I love chanting. I love going to kirtans. And for those of you that don't know what that is, how do I explain it? It's like yogi music. Sometimes there's mantras and they're like Sanskrit mantras. Sometimes there's English, sometimes there's different languages. And it's a way of connecting to the divine within us, the divine around us. And I notice as when I first started chanting about 3 years ago, I was very judgmental of my voice. You know, when I was five, I shut it down and then I didn't ever express it or share it with anybody. And in these kirtans, there's a group of people and then there's the people who lead it. And it's a call and response. So they'll sing something and then the group will sing something. And it was such this safe space to just be. And the more I chanted, the more like emotions would come up and I would cry. Like imagine that you're singing, "I am magnificent," over and over and over and over. Like everything that isn't that, as you're aligning yourself to the vibration that "I am magnificent," everything that isn't that like has to go somewhere. So for me, it comes out in tears. And it was so healing. It is so healing. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. A lot of times if I'm going to a kirtan and a lot of times my body will want to move, so I'll get up and dance. And just moving, just feeling the music and just flowing and just allowing whatever energy wants to come through without any judgment, without any worry of what other people might think. Really, like I like to say, like taking the lid off, like unleashing that energy, that like true core self of like who we really are, just like letting it all out, like willing to look foolish or silly. Like it doesn't matter because we are all of that. So there's singing, there's dancing. What else do I do for fun? I love art. I love art. Any kind of art, painting, sculptures. It's anything that can express. Sometimes me and my children will just take our hands and we'll get canvases and we'll just get all messy. Cause it's just therapeutic. Sometimes it turns out beautiful. Sometimes it looks like mud and just accepting that however it turns out is okay. I meditate and I practice yoga. Yoga is, I said to my husband once when I was struggling with my faith in a religion that I was in, honey, you know what? I said, the only thing that I know for sure that I trust and believe in like 100% is yoga. Like it saved my life more than once. It saved my children's life. It's actually how I discovered yoga was because I was struggling as a young mother of two little boys. Yeah, I like being out in nature, hiking. I love animals. You know, and it's individual. Like everybody has different things that they are drawn to. So I think finding what you love, like those things, those activities that feed your soul, that get you in touch with that like true essence of who you really are. That's definitely key for, I think, just living.
So fun activities are the ones that feed our soul. And it does look different for everybody. I think that being in that alignment and being congruent to feeding our soul and knowing that's what we're doing and having fun doing it. I have a client that I was working with recently and we were talking and She looks over at me and kind of puts her hand on her hips and goes, I don't think I have enough fun in my life. I need to go get more fun. And it was like very matter of fact, right? And I said, yes, I agree with you. And she's very, very, very successful. And so to look at her or to know who she was, you would already think that the fun part was handled. Like you wouldn't see any of those things. And most of the people I work with, you really, they know that there's a deeper calling and something going and it's creating that restlessness for them to move forward. But the outside world with the veil doesn't necessarily notice, right? So she goes, you know what I'm going to do? I go, what are you going to do? She goes, I am going to go learn a dance. I go, what dance? She goes, maybe swing dancing, maybe the cha-cha, but I'm going to go take dance lessons. I said, have you ever danced? Like, you know, where are we coming up with dance? She goes, I've never done it before. I have wanted to dance since I was a little girl and nobody would let me, and I'm going to go learn dancing. And the way she said it was like the little kid stamping their princess feet. And the funny thing was that she even was surprised by it. Like after this little conversation about it, and we were talking about something else a little bit later in our time together, and she looked at me and she goes, I don't even know where this dancing thing came from. She goes, but I could see me younger wanting to dance and not letting myself dance, and now it's time to dance. I said, well, then let's go dance. And so I helped her look up, you know, different kinds of dances and different places she could go learn it. You know, she says, I can't do it in too much public. I don't want to be embarrassed. I said, well, in class, everybody's feeling embarrassed, you know, but she was, that was, I think, and I, this is what I told her. And what you just said goes with it is that that's your soul reminding you that there's this piece that's, that wants to be expressed. And even if you've hid it for 50 years, when in her case, it's been about that long, then it still wants to be expressed. It's never too late. There's always the opportunity to go within and allow whatever it is that wants to emerge that's beautiful and wonderful to come out. And sometimes we don't know how that's going to look.
Yeah.
We just don't know, you know? So tell us a little bit about how you have woven all of these amazing experiences and the education you've had, the going from a very dark childhood through all of those experiences into the, being this amazing, beautiful presence that you are today. That is like, talk about a butterfly story. It's like, wow, right? And how have you woven that into your professional life? Tell us a little bit about what you do professionally, how you do it. Like you work with people long distance or only local, or just give us all a flavor of what it is that you do and how you do it, and maybe why you love it so much too, something like that.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So just recently, I started up my own business of doing yoga and Ayurvedic counseling. And I've been a yoga instructor for a handful of years. Love it. And back in September, I found a coaching program, and they actually supported me in doing the summit that I interviewed you on, the Freedom from Addiction Summit. And that summit was so profound because I got to get to know so many amazing individuals like you, but also that we got to share all of that knowledge and that information of those 23 experts with almost 900 people. So I was really excited about that. And so now I'm doing one-on-one counseling or coaching or consulting, whatever C word you want to use. I use all of them, just whatever one pops out. And, you know, some friends of mine who are in the same coaching program, they're like, well, who's your target audience? And I'm like, well, I'm still figuring that out, because there's this piece of me that really wants to support people that want to overcome their addictions, you know, because I have that experience, and now I have these amazing tools with yoga and Ayurveda to help support people to find that balance and find their joy and that freedom, so they don't feel like trapped by whatever it is that they feel trapped by. And then there's also this part of me that, you know, when I discovered yoga, I was a young mother with two young children. And so there's a big part of me that is very, because I had a relapse then, And having a relapse with two small children was probably more painful than the darkness I had experienced before, because now I was responsible for two lives that I had been gifted. So a big part of me is about self-love, which, and self-care. Like, we tend to give so much. I think especially those of us that might struggle with some kind of addiction, we tend to give and give and give and give and give, and then we forget to give to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then we're depleted and we have nothing left to give. And then we're like, I either got to put something in me to fill me back up or not. And then, you know, what's that option? But I've found that offering one-on-one consulting for people has been really, really satisfying. Mm-hmm. Being able to give to someone that may be struggling with something that I've struggled with, or maybe not. I have a client right now, and he has a very large amount of weight that he wants to lose. And I'm so excited to be able to walk him, be there with him and walk with him as he's learning to release this weight, this vibration that no longer serves him, from a place of self-love and self-care, rather than like beating up on himself. Like, I gotta let go of this. I hate this. You know, there's like, it doesn't work when we come from the more self-harm. It only comes and works permanently from a place of when we really learn to love ourselves, no matter where we're at. Like, I'm gonna love me no matter how much weight I have on my body. And then through that love, I can release it because it's no longer serving me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's really neat. I'm glad that you're bringing all of this together in a way to really serve people in a really intimate and connected, powerful way. Because I think so many people are searching and looking, and they don't even know what they're searching or looking for sometimes. And sometimes the traditional ways, the old school ways, I call them, are just that, they're old news. And sometimes it takes looking at things from a fresh way or being open in a different way that really can put us over the edge or whatever, right? And so the mantra that you shared with me, may all beings be happy and free and may I contribute to that, fits perfectly with what you just said, that you are that empty vessel that is here to share all the greater blessings in a way to serve other people and your own happiness and freedom. And so I think it's a really beautiful hearing your story and hearing what you've done with it professionally and what you're doing. I mean, you'll be doing much more with it and raising your family in a way that says, you know, that we can transcend and we are resilient and we don't have to stay stuck. And in fact, it's loving ourselves that frees us. Are really powerful universal messages that you are a mighty force to be here to share. And I just want to point out how beautiful that is.
Thank you, Diane.
You're quite welcome. Is there anything else that you wanted to say that I didn't ask you about? Of course, we're going to put your website and your contact information in the show notes so that any of you who want to follow Katori on social media or get some of her things, or maybe even get a consult with her or whatever, let her know you heard her on this podcast, and make sure you check her out through the show notes, where we'll have more of her bio and her contact information so that you can reach out to her. And I'm sure she'd be happy to serve you in any way that will support your greater good.
Yeah. So, thank you, Diane. Yeah. So I don't have a website. I am on Facebook, as Katori Noor.
Okay.
You can reach me directly at katorinoor@gmail.com. And I'll give you the link, Diane. I do have a free creation call. It says that it's 20 minutes on there, but sometimes we run over and that's okay. And what I do is I ask you questions similar, you know, how kind of like Diane was asking me questions, but questions that evoke your vision for your life and what you want to create for your life. So if you want to have that, it's kind of like a little free gift that I wanted to offer. You can click on that link.
Great.
And the message that I want to leave you is like, you are here for a reason. You have a purpose that only you can fulfill. You are the only you, and you matter. And you probably are a lot like me, and it's like, oh, well, everyone else matters, but maybe I don't matter. But if you don't get that you don't matter, nobody else is going to get that they matter. So it starts with you. You do matter. You do make a difference. And just don't ever, ever give up on yourself. Keep searching, keep going for it, keep finding your joy and following your bliss. And I can't wait to meet you. And thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you for being on the show and blessing us. And I can't wait to listen to the show again, where I get to be listening the whole time, because it was so beautiful having you here with us. I actually have tears in my eyes now, hearing what you just said, because it's so true. It is so true that, you know, we all matter and we're here with a purpose and we're on purpose. So I'm going to put the link to the free creation call in the show notes and take Katori up on it. And when you meet her live, you will experience a blessing that you can't even imagine yet. So don't forget to let her know that how you found her, because this is her first podcast interview, by the way. And she has really blessed us amazingly. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Diane.
So remember, everybody, keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. Remember, you are a rock star here on purpose with a purpose. So go let your life shine. And until the next episode, be well.
Thanks for tuning in to Someone Gets Me. To find out more, please visit Diane's website at MissDianeAllen.com. That's MissDianeAllen.com. Be sure to take a second and subscribe to the show and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Until next time, remember, the world needs your special gift. So let your light shine.